Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, everybody. Welcome back. Matt Stein, Metz and Darryl, the Guru Johnson with you. We're filling in for Joe Lowe and Dibs on a Friday morning. Hope everybody's having a great start to their day. We're talking a little bit about George Karl and him basically throwing Carmelo Anthony and Kenyon Martin and J.R. Smith under the bus in his new book, Furious George. And we're going to jump back into that in a second. We're going to take some calls on that, too, because we have some people on hold. But first, we got Anna with an update.
All right. Thanks, Sunny. Well, first off, Draymond Green did not play and was back in the Bay Area for the birth of his son. And Warriors were down by 16 at the half in Brooklyn. They woke up in the second half. Golden State rallied to beat the Nets 117-101, winning their sixth straight. Dubs are back on the floor tonight. They expect to be Draymond Green is expected to play in Detroit. Coverage starts at 3 right here on 95.7 The Game. Some Thursday Night Football. Giants had a chance to clinch a playoff spot, but fell short.
Toss to Sproles. Got a block from Lane Johnson. Sproles inside the 10. Derek Sproles. Opening drive. Philadelphia touchdown.
NBC with the call. Eagles take down the Giants 24-19. And with New York's loss, the Cowboys clinch the number one seed and home field advantage throughout the NFC playoffs. Raiders are preparing for their Christmas Eve matchup against Andrew Luck and the Colts' Derek Carr on what needs to be done to get the win.
You know, he's a great playmaker and you want the ball in his hands. So there's a fine line, you know, when it comes to that. But I leave that to the coaches. You know, I don't even go near that. You know, I just try and read the defense and throw it to where I'm supposed to.
So he's talking about throwing to Amari Cooper. Kickoff at 105. Kelechi Osemele returned to practice yesterday. And Jared Goff cleared concussion protocol. So he's on track to start against the 49ers tomorrow. Brought to you by USF Dons Basketball. Get tickets at usfdons.com. It's Hoops on the Hilltop when the USF Dons take on the University of San Diego on Thursday, December 29th at 7 p.m. Check out our club suite with food tasting and drinks. Buy tickets at usfdons.com. I'm Anna Kugadike is on 95.7 The Game.
All right, let's talk a little bit more about George Karl because I'm seeing a lot of reaction here. Let's go out to Mike in San Francisco. Mike wants to talk about George Karl. How you doing, Mike?
Hey, I'm good, man. How y'all doing, Guru?
Doing well.
All right.
Y'all sound real good this morning. Anyway, though, George Karl, I don't know, man. You know what? I think he said what he said. I don't know. What did he say about Gary Tate? Especially didn't say nothing about GP.
No, he actually said that he and GP kind of made a pact with each other when they first started working with each other that it was going to be all about the defense. So Peyton actually has some good things to say about George Karl. They apparently had a pretty good relationship.
I know he speaks highly of George Karl and he told Boogie Cousins. He said, man, you gotta listen to him. So I know, Simon, you're your NBA guy, gang. I love hearing you. I feel like y'all have a beautiful Friday. Happy holidays.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, I'm getting from the 415, Stani. Guru, you're a moron, so only black coaches can talk about black players. Is that how it works in your world? And if you listen to anything I said, I'm basically defending George Karl,
right.
And it's not about color. I'm just wondering if this story is picking up steam and we're making more about his comments, which I find he has the right to say because of the color, because he's white and these players are black. So I'm basically defending George Karl in regard to he really didn't say anything that we don't know about Carmelo and him being a selfish player.
Well, he took it another step. You know, I mean, honestly, as far as the race issue goes,
I didn't
really see a racial component in it. Although I could see how a black person might say, "Well, how could you not?" I get that. My biggest issue goes beyond kind of color. It's more like, dude, you really want to air that? I mean, I guess it's a book, and I guess you're going to sell books to make money, but that's some nasty stuff.
So the father
ended
aspect
up saying.
Of it is where that's over the line for you, or just all of it? Because I mean, not that it's public knowledge, but
how about all the? I don't know why he went there with the Kenyon Martin
just
without
to
a
try
father.
To give the reader some insight to maybe that's why they didn't have the connection that he thought
that
they
is
should
important.
Have.
I mean, that's a topic worthy of discussion, but to kind of blame Kenyon Martin's behavior for that, I don't know. I just the whole thing leaves me with a bad taste in my mouth.
Well, I'll tell you this. They all didn't get along because for Kenyon to respond the way he did and in the time manner was very, you know, you could tell why the team didn't win.
Right.
I mean, they went to the Western Conference Finals, but you can tell, you know, they're not having any lunch or dinner anytime soon or phone calls. How you doing, Coach?
Well, I would go this far looking back on some of those Denver teams. George Karl, Carmelo Anthony, J.R. Smith, Kenyon Martin, guess what they all have in common? They're all kind of immature. Or they all were definitely immature at the time. I think J.R. Smith's grown up a lot. I think Carmelo Anthony's grown up a lot. But those four guys, I mean, I could see why
we
it
haven't
didn't
heard
work.
Any. We haven't heard anything from J.R. Smith.
No, he said, yeah, we did, actually. Oh, okay. He just said, in fact, J.R. Smith, where the heck is it? I'll tell you exactly what J.R. Smith said.
This will tell me a lot, too.
J.R. Smith said, still trying to be relevant. Sad. Just sad.
Okay. So he's, I got
J.R. Smith, Mr. Maturity. J.R. Smith, that's it.
Wow.
I like J.R. Smith.
No, I do, too.
I really do, man.
I love his game, too.
I like how hard he plays. Let's go to Marcus in Hayward. Marcus, you want to talk a little more, George Karl? What's going on?
Good morning.
How are you?
Good. Let me say first, I'm a Carolina guy, so I got a lot of love for George Karl.
Okay.
But I think he was wrong. If he was doing an interview and said what he said, I wouldn't have a problem with it. If he kept just about basketball and the issues they had with winning in a book, I wouldn't have a problem. But when you put the personal in there and you're making a profit off it, that's when I have a problem with it. And then you're putting something out there, so will now other people judge players if they have a problem with it and say, oh, he's just like this because he doesn't have a father figure. I think that's wrong.
Yeah.
That's a great point, too.
Yeah. Thanks a lot for the call. Here's exactly what George Karl said. Kenyon and Carmelo carried two big burdens, all that money and no father to show them how to act like a man. I mean,
yeah, that's harsh.
To me, you're almost saying.
I almost want him to, George, can you elaborate?
Exactly. That's kind of the way I feel, too. I mean, how do I want to put this? Because it's nuanced, but he's putting responsibility on them for
And maybe
it's a tough
he
topic.
Could have been
I mean,
that guy.
It's not that I don't want to discuss it or I can't. It's just that there's a lot there.
And Matt, tell me if I'm wrong. If I had a dollar for every time I've heard an athlete say a coach, I don't care what level, was like a father to me.
Right?
Isn't that almost the goal? To where, yeah, you're a coach, but you meant more to me than just that.
So maybe
George Karl failed these guys, and that's what he was trying to do.
Maybe.
And couldn't do it. Couldn't get to him.
Well, part of me also thinks it's such a cynical it's a depressing point of view.
But it's true.
I guess it is true. But what he's saying though is, if you don't have a father figure, you're doomed to not fulfill yourself as a human being.
And that's the bad part, that he didn't elaborate on what he meant by that.
Right.
Because I can see how one would come to that, you know, look at it from that viewpoint.
Yeah, let's go out to Robert in San Jose. What's going on, Robert?
Hey, guys. How you guys doing?
Doing well.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays to you. Here's my big thing. I'm on George Carlisle's side because if you look at Carmelo Anthony had a chance to play with one of the greats, Allen Iverson. Did he make that relationship work? No. I mean, when you looked at it, George Karl was white. He didn't want to share a lot of spotlight whenever he was challenged for that authority on those teams. Look what he did in New York. When Jeremy Lin was hot, nobody was talking about Carmelo Anthony for a minute. They're like, oh, maybe we paid too much money for this guy. And with the Kenyon Martin thing, this guy was from the streets. He was edgy. He was tough. But at the end of the day, you got a job. You're supposed to work in that system. And all those guys, they always fought him, man. They didn't make it easy for him to win in Denver, you know. And I'm a big-time Warriors fan. So, you know, at those times when they were hot, we were cold. So, I mean, we paid attention to the things they did. So that's why it was really sad things that, you know, the way things ended in Denver and the way things ended for him in Sacramento.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Appreciate the call. Yeah, it's a...
And listen, I
don't know. I mean, to me, okay. for me, I don't see it as a racial issue. I see it as a guy who just should have kept it to himself.
Okay.
But I get it. I mean, if you want to write a book, you probably want to tell it like it is. I would just have a problem burning all those bridges.
Okay.
Even if I truly felt it. You know, it's like I wouldn't want to come across Carmelo Anthony after I did something like that
and that's very valid, Matt, but let's keep it real. What's fascinating is we're acting like Carmelo's profile was not stained as being a selfish type of guy, didn't like to play defense or help teammates. He didn't have that profile like Steph Curry, and then this is coming out to where it's like, hey, this is apples and oranges.
Right.
George Karl basically said what people think about Carmelo Anthony on the basketball court. So that's why I'm blown away, and I'm not saying it's about race, but in our society now, I feel like the internet, social media is trying to go down that avenue, and I'm taking a step back to say, hey, this seems to me to coincide when he talks about selfish and not helping others with what we view Melo as.
Right.
And I'm not saying he's a bad guy.
Right.
But let's not act like Carmelo has that profile of a Steph Curry. Good guy. Guys like to play with him.
All right. You know what? Let's kind of let that there right now. But the one thing I am curious to see, and if I were a Golden State Warrior beat writer, which I used to be, and I'm in Detroit, I am going to Andre Iguodala right now because Andre Iguodala is a very smart guy. He played under George Karl. I got to believe he's got some fascinating things to say about this.
I didn't think about that.
I'd love to hear what Andre Iguodala would have to say about that for sure. Maybe we will today, hopefully. Guru, the Golden State Warriors last night were down 65-49 at halftime. You confided in me this morning that you thought they might lose. And sure enough, they came back and outscored the Brooklyn Nets by 32 points, and they won 117-101 without Draymond Green.
If you didn't watch the game, Matt, you would have said this just went just like I thought it was going to. You would have never thought that the Warriors were down 16. And again, as much as I want to focus on that, they were without their heart and soul, Draymond Green, and they still got it done. Why they got it done to the point that they didn't even need the fourth quarter before they took the lead back, Matt. I mean, this team's great. I'm running out of adjectives. But again, come Sunday morning, I'm going to be in front of the TV, the idiot box, as my dad calls it, and I am going to hang on to that game because I just want to see how Cleveland, the body language, how they're going to react with KD, who LeBron has some good history against, how the dynamic, the chemistry will be, how they're going to attack, who's going to guard KD. So it's more than just the score and how the game's going to play out. Just the reaction. Is Cleveland going to be overwhelmed with the firepower, or will they know, hey, there is no Bogut, and you saw what we did last June with no Bogut.
I'm interested to see a lot of things about Sunday's game. First of all, it seems like Draymond Green will obviously play Sunday. Apparently, he's already in Detroit, so he's going to play tonight against the Pistons. And you know what? I don't know why I didn't think of this before. For Draymond Green, the Detroit game's probably just as important as the Cleveland game because he's from Saginaw, Michigan.
Oh, man.
Like, I didn't make that connection. Of course, he's going to want to go home and play.
Mama's probably on that trip with him.
I don't know why I didn't make that connection.
You know he was getting there.
You know, the one thing, and I'll tell you, I was talking to Jim Barnett, the Warriors color analyst, the other day at the arena.
The great Jim Barnett.
Yes, and he brought up the notion that he thinks Draymond Green should be an MVP candidate. Just as much as Steph Curry, just as much as Kevin Durant. And at first you stop and think, look, come on, it's Curry's team, it's Durant's team, and to a certain extent it's Klay's team. And yeah, Draymond's the heart and soul, but I'll tell you what, the more I think about it, the more I think that if you took Draymond Green off, let me ask you this. If you took Draymond Green off the Golden State Warriors, would they be the favorites to win it?
Oh, no, not at all. And I would ring that siren, that red sound, because what's so special and why he deserves to be in the MVP discussion is he's doing things that don't show up on the stat sheet, the intangibles. And that's what's making this Warrior team tick. If you tell me tomorrow, hey, Klay's out for Cleveland, Steph's out for Cleveland, got Durant, we got enough firepower. But you don't have the accessories to replace Draymond. Matt, this is real, and I don't think we can remember a time where a guy that doesn't score 25 a game or flirt with a triple-double every night like Westbrook could actually where there could be some validity to an MVP discussion. Green is special, man.
Well, I mean, the only guy that I can – think of off the top of my head would be a Dennis Rodman.
All right, okay.
But Rodman was never considered an MVP candidate, probably because he was playing with Jordan, who was by far considered the best player in his generation, maybe of all time. What I'm getting at is, you know what, though? If you took Rodman off those Bulls teams, they lose very...
Detroit might not have won.
Yeah. I mean, I just think that I just look at it from a basketball perspective, and I think to have a great basketball team, you absolutely positively need to have balance. You need to have a lot of boxes checked. You need to be able to do a lot of things. Basketball is a team game. If you put three scorers out on the floor, but no defenders and no rebounders, you're not going to win. And so while I think Durant and Curry and Klay Thompson are phenomenal players, they, at their heart and soul, are scorers. And Draymond Green isn't a scorer. He helps you in a variety of other ways. I think if you take Draymond Green off this team, they are not nearly as good. But if you were to take one of the other three guys off the team, they'd still have a shot at it because they'd have Draymond and still two prolific scorers.
And to think, Matt, and this is, I'm being honest, to think I thought Green was going to be phased out, not on purpose. I was like, there's not enough balls.
Right.
But actually the addition of KD has made him actually more important. So if I said the big three now is Steph, and I love Klay. You know how much I love Klay. Mm-hmm. But the big three is KD, Steph, and Draymond. I don't think I would be too far off now.
No, I don't think so either. Like I said, if before the season started, you would have said, you know, Draymond Green's going to be the MVP of this team. You watch, you'd be like, get out of here, man. I mean, yeah, we always say, oh, Draymond's, you know, he helps and he's a good rebounder. He's a great defensive player, but it's still Steph Curry's team. All right, it's still Klay Thompson's team and it's still Kevin Durant's team. But man, I didn't think Draymond Green could step up his play from last year, and he's done it. The other thing is, I realize the Warriors came back from 16 down yesterday, but if you watch the first half, that team looked like a normal NBA team.
Matt, they super
looked,
normal.
They looked okay. Yeah, they're okay, but...
Brooke Lopez looked like the second coming.
How about him shooting 9 threes?
And it looks like it's going in a few times when he releases it. It ain't
you like
new
the way,
ball
you like light. The way the league's going with,
no,
with seven footers
no,
taking 3 points?
No, I don't. We talked about it yesterday. I don't like it. And,
you don't like the Rockets taking 61
no, I
threes?
I don't like it.
I don't know why that doesn't excite me.
Yeah. I'm a guy that likes to see a big man. You show me some moves there. I love Takeem. I love Patrick Ewing. It's too much of one thing, Matt. Yesterday, that game,
kind
they
of,
were just shooting threes.
Kind of agree.
And it was like, forget the paint. What's going on here?
The problem is it's so hard to discuss this issue in the Bay Area because the Warriors have used that shot to be the team they are now, period. The three-point shot has put the Golden State Warriors at the top of the NBA pecking order. So if you criticize the way the game's played now, you're really criticizing the Golden State Warriors. And I don't want to do that because the Warriors are just taking advantage of the way the game's played right now. I'm from the Greg Popovich school, who I don't like it one bit, but if it's there, you got to use it. You absolutely have to use it.
And does it just boil down to math?
Yes.
So now I see it trickling over to the NFL, Matt. We've never seen teams go for two. It's like greed has just set in. It's like, it's 2 points. It's 2 points. Even if we don't get, it's 2 points. And I'm like, when did this happen to where it's greed to me? It's just greedy, man. And I watched that game like I told my pops, where's the center? Just give me somebody right on the block a couple times.
But there can't be somebody on the block, because if you throw the ball to somebody on the block, it's just not going to be as efficient as a guy making threes. So that's why everyone said, oh, you know, there'll be a center that comes in. No, there won't. There will not be a center to come along that spins the game back in the other direction, because...
Well, Mark Gasol's pretty damn good.
He's taking threes now.
Yeah.
He takes 5 threes a game. This from the text line. Steiny, you're a funny guy. I remember back 3 years ago, you hated Draymond, always talking him down. I never hated Draymond. Did I think there was a point when I thought people were overvaluing him? Absolutely.
I was in the camp.
I was too. I'm not afraid to say I was wrong about Draymond Green, but by the way, I'll tell you the Draymond Green story. I love Draymond Green at Michigan State.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
I love Draymond Green at Michigan State, but he was considered a tweener. And let's not forget.
And you can understand why when you look at his size.
You know, and the other thing about Draymond Green is he was playing like 15 or 20 pounds heavier when he was at Michigan State. He's transformed his body, and he's become a better shooter. But, you know, I was thinking about this, too, is everybody credits Westbrook for how hard he plays. Draymond Green's the same way. I mean, they play the same
way. I never looked that way.
So
reckless abandon.
They're just killers. So
I never looked at it that way.
No, I like... listen, and just because I may not have been right on a guy doesn't mean I can't appreciate him now.
What about the other night where he was
going at it? Isn't life about being open-minded?
No, it totally is.
That's the other thing I can't stand,
and that's
man.
Why I was not defending Carl, but... Yeah, man, we want honesty, man. Even nobody's perfect. Nobody's walking around here perfect, but I don't think he was coming from a bad place. Coach Carl.
Coach Carl?
When you're talking about being open, you know, he felt like that's why they didn't have that connection, maybe because he didn't have a father figure. Don't make him prejudiced, racist. It don't even make it bad. It's just what he thought might have led to them maybe not connecting on the level that he thought they should have.
Let me ask you a question. Let me ask a Bay Area question. Because everybody, you were wrong about that. You think Steph Curry was going to be this good?
Oh, not at all. I was
breathing
fire. Do you
think Klay Thompson was going to be this good?
No, I didn't.
We didn't think Draymond Green was going to be this good.
I thought Monte Ellis should have never been traded.
The point is ain't nobody thought these guys were going to be as good as they turned out.
Amazing.
Nobody. Nobody, as Jim Harbaugh would say. Let's get out. We're gonna visit with Kirk Morrison next. Kirk is the analyst, the radio analyst for the LA Rams. The LA Rams are playing the San Francisco 49ers this weekend in a game that will be played and apparently will be watched by some people. Although, did you see? We'll talk about the ratings after this. You're listening to Matt Steinmetz and Darryl the Guru Johnson, filling in for Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Remarkable story.
Now back to Football Fridays. Here's Joe Lowe and Dibs.
Good morning, everybody. Matt Steinmetz and Darryl the Guru Johnson filling in for Joe Lowe and Dibs today. Thank you for joining us. Joining us right now is the Rams pre- and post-game analyst and former Raider linebacker, Kirk Morrison. You can follow him on Twitter, at Kirk Morrison. And here's where I want to start with you, Kirk. How about your alma mater, Bishop O'Dowd, the Dragons, winning a state title this year?
Yeah, man, that was outstanding. Head coach Napoleon Kaufman. Bringing home the first state title in football in our school history. So that was huge last weekend. I had a pretty good weekend, I would say that, fellas. I had, you know, my alma mater, Bishop O'Dowd, win a state title. I had my alma mater in college, San Diego State, win a bowl game in the Las Vegas Bowl over Houston. And then Sunday, which was the icing on the cake, the Raiders going back to the playoffs, clinching a spot down in San Diego while I was in attendance. So it was great, man. Great weekend for me.
Yeah, let me ask you that. Obviously, you follow the Raiders. If they win this weekend, they can clinch the AFC West. 2 years ago, they started out the season 0-10, and now they're 11-3. I mean, are you surprised by how quickly they turned this thing around?
Yeah, I mean, I really am, because you look at just the five-year plan for Reggie McKenzie and how it's just kind of come to fruition, man. This thing has been awesome, because people forget it. In a day now, if you look at where this team was, just I look at the first 3 years of the Reggie McKenzie, they were 4-12, 4-12, 3-13. And everybody's saying, oh, he should be fired, look at the coaching staff, all of this. But you look at the last 2 years, they were building to where they are now. You go from 7-9 last year, 11-3 this year, seven Pro Bowlers, and a team that looks like it's not just a one-hit wonder. This team looks like it's building for the future. This team looks like it's ready to go toward the future. So I'm very surprised that it happened over these two quick years, but I don't forget about those 3 years under Reggie in the beginning where it was some tough times. And the patience of Mark Davis, I think now you're starting to see why. You got to be patient in national football, because good things will happen.
Man, I hear you, Kirk. I mean, who better to ask this next question than yourself? Real quick, about Derek Carr and the Raiders and the hopes of them trying to go far in the playoffs, how concerned are you from your vantage point about Derek Carr in the pinky, and now that they're doing everything pretty much out of shotgun, and you hear Derek say, you know, I'm good, are you worried a little more? Should Raider fans be a tad bit nervous if they got to go on the road, or just in general with that pinky not being 100%?
Yeah, I think two things here. I think really you really got to find a way to get one of those two, the number two seed AFC, if not the one seed. I think the Patriots may have wrapped that up already. But if the Raiders are able to get that two seed, it gives them an extra week of rest. I mean, they get that first round bye and they get a home playoff game. They get that. I think now you can give that pinky just a little bit more rest and try to incorporate more under center for Derek Carr. The only thing is, right now, with him being in shotgun, it limits your running game. Now, I know they ran for over 155, 160 yard plus last week in San Diego, but you're not going to be able to do that in the playoffs. It's a little bit different. Teams are going to be scheme and definitely take that away from them. So I am a bit concerned, but I really feel like, look, it's a lot easier to get to the Super Bowl when you got to win two than having to win three. So I look at just in general, not even about the pinky, just about this team being able to play one at home, and then, hey, who knows, be able to play two at home, and whatever happens to the Patriots, it just makes it a little bit easier road to get there, because I don't know how tough it is just winning on the road three consecutive games. That's pretty tough.
Kirk, I want to ask you about Rams quarterback rookie Jared Goff. How do you think his maturation is coming? How's he doing so far? I mean, he's started, what, five games now? Yeah. What's your take on him?
Well, it's hard to really evaluate Jared because, you know what, he's just had an offensive line. It's really almost been sort of a turnstile. I mean, every defense coming in just really just feasts on that offensive line. And then Todd Gurley, his running game has really been a shell of itself. He's had drops at the wide receiver position. And then the play calling hasn't been the best, I feel, for Jared. So when you're trying to evaluate him, it's, you know, really can you get a good evaluation? Here's a guy that, I'll tell you this, he's shown me more toughness than I really thought he had. He's shown me better pocket awareness, better ability. He makes all the throws. Now, there's some throws that I know he wish he could have back, because they should be touchdown throw, there should be completions. But for the most part, when I evaluate him, I just think his decision-making has to be a little bit better. But you do positives. It's just so hard to evaluate him on a big scale, because the way this team looks this year, it's not going to look the same next year. And I think you can really evaluate him next year during a full training camp and a full off season to see where he's at.
One thing I'm always fascinated by, and not just a football quarterback, but any professional athlete who's coming from the college ranks into the pros, especially someone who's got a lot of hype or is a top pick, is there's a lot of sentiment. We'll just throw him in there, put him in there.
Right.
And sometimes the player might not be ready. What were you thinking as the season started? I mean, do you think Goff should have been in there from the get-go? Do you see where Fisher was coming from, maybe saying, you know, I don't want to – you know, throw him to the Lions because then maybe his confidence will be shot down the line? I mean, where do you come down on all that?
Well, I really agree with Fisher, and I know what happens is you get people who are not necessarily football, you know, insiders or fans and say, well, you traded up to the number one spot. He should be playing week one. And that's not the case, especially for Jarrett. They felt that this kid hasn't played under center or hasn't really been in football enough. You know, like basically, I used to run same offense since high school and college. Then he gets to NFL, and it's a different game. It's a big jump from NFL, or from the college ranks to the NFL. So I get where I thought Jeff Fisher was just saying, look, we're going to bring him along very slowly because we think he's our future. We don't want to just throw him out there. It's a little bit different. Where I'll compare these two really quickly. You look at the Raiders when they started Derek Carr, Matt Schaub, three seasons ago. The Raiders knew, like, look, we're not going anywhere. We're not a very good team. We want to be able to compete, but we know that no matter what's going to happen, we're going to roll with this kid and let's just go. When I look at the Rams situation this year, this was a team that was, you know, coming off a nice little finish last year. You know, they won three of the last four games with Case Keenum. So they said, look, we can win games and we can hold off for a while and then put Jared Goff in. And that's what I think it was a little bit different, was that this team was more ready to win this year so that you didn't have to play Goff. Whereas the Raiders a couple of years ago just threw Carr in there and said, hey, no matter what, we're going to sink or swim with him.
Kirk, I was telling Matt about, you mentioned Jeff Fisher, and I feel like what sealed his fate was the disagreement or the miscommunication with Eric Dickerson. And I want to know your thoughts. And also, too, do you think John Gruden would come to L.A.? Because I do. That new stadium, the buzz, the team just coming back to the city. What are your thoughts?
I think the Eric Dickerson thing was blown out of proportion, just because when you look at where Eric is coming from, he's a former player. And when you're losing, you're always going to get that. Whether you guys know it right there in the Bay Area, when the Raiders are losing, everybody was out, blew down on them. You get everybody talking about them and this and that. And so when you're losing, you get that. And basically just Jeff Fisher just told him, like, look, you're not going to be able to talk about my coaches, talk about my players, what you do, to a point where you can't stand next to him and feel like as if you're going to still get the same treatment. And it didn't, to me, I didn't feel that it was a kind of a distinct factor in everything. It was just when the team is losing, that's just what happens. I think eventually Fisher was just, he was fired because of the way this team played over the last couple of weeks while he was head coach. I mean, he just didn't look like they were competing. The fact that he had just been lost. And his message was getting lost. And I think that's where, you know, it had to be a change. And, you know, John Gruden is the name that you throw out there. But John doesn't want to leave the booth. I mean, he's got the best job in the business right now. He works one day a week, and then he gets to tutor some of the young players going into the National Football League. And he gets to work on the draft. He does so much. And I think getting him back, you really got to want to be a coach now because of, you know, how does he set up his team? Who's going to be his general manager? Well, you know, what is he going to do as far as his day-to-day? Does he want to move from, you know, Florida to Los Angeles now? There's just a lot of facts that go into it where the name sounds good, but I just don't know if a guy who's been away for that long wants to come back and get back into that grind.
How about this? What kind of coach would you like to see the Rams hire?
Well, really, I think that you have to look at what you have as far as the quarterback position, and you have to blossom him. How do you, you know, bring along your quarterback? I think you have to go with a sort of an offensive-minded head coach. I really look and admire what the people down in Miami did this year, bringing over Adam Gase, who actually could have been the 49ers head coach. Mm-hmm. He just didn't work out, you know. But you think about what Adam Gase was able to do, going over to Miami, changing the culture there. This team can clinch a playoff berth this weekend, and it's because they brought in an offensive-minded head coach. And they brought in a guy who has worked, you know, with the Jay Cutlers. You know, he's worked now with Ryan Tannehill. He's worked with Peyton Manning before. So you're bringing in that type of pedigree and then changing the culture around the team. And now the Miami Dolphins are right there knocking on the door for a playoff spot. I think that's kind of where you want to go. So it's either, you know, a coach of a Kyle Shanahan type, who's the offensive coordinator in Atlanta. Obviously, Josh McDaniels is going to be the name a lot of people throw out because he does have head coaching experience. But I look to be somewhat a coordinator type that can come in and really mentor Jared Goff and then really change the culture of this team.
Hey, Kirk, great stuff. Really appreciate you joining us.
Thank you.
All right, no problem. Happy Friday, fellas.
All right, thank you very much. That's Kirk Morrison, Rams pre- and post-game analyst and former Raiders linebacker. You can follow him on Twitter at Kirk Morrison. Remember, today's a Football Friday brought to you by Dolan's Lumber Doors and Windows. Lower prices, better service, higher quality, and FH Daily Chevrolet. Drive a little and save a lot. All right, when we come back, I may let Guru air a few grievances or tell me who's stocking's going to have coal in it. We'll be right back on 95.7 The Game.
That was one time. Don't act like it's happened a lot.
Now back to Football Fridays. Here's Joe Low and Dibs.
Happy Festivus.
Happy Festivus.
Happy Festivus.
Hey, happy Festivus, everyone.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Joe Low and Dibs Show. I'm Matt Steinmetz, filling in with Daryl the Guru Johnson, also here with Anna Kakadakis. And Festivus. You remember that Seinfeld guru? Were you a big Seinfeld fan?
It's number two on my top three. Cheers first.
Cheers was first.
Seinfeld. Okay. And then Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Yeah, I'm with you on just about all three of those. Yeah. I put Seinfeld above Cheers, though.
I'm with you on that. I love both shows, though. Both good.
But the fact Larry David made that show about his real life,
right,
almost is number one, but it's just, you know, not every day.
Yeah. I had a friend who used to say that, you know, that Seinfeld was good because when it was over, you were always sad. It was always a bummer when that show was over.
Did you like the last one they had? I kind of was disappointed.
Yeah, it was all right. Yeah, it took a lot of heat, I know that.
Yeah, it did, yeah.
But that's because we wanted it to go on forever. Anybody have any grievances they want to air? Anna?
I definitely have a grievance.
You do?
I had to laugh when I was shopping the other day, and I saw a lady holding a little dog in the baby Bjorns, you know, those baby holders?
Sure.
That you put infants in. She was walking around with the dog in the holder, and I just think that is just sheer stupidity. Sorry, I can't. I just want to look at somebody doing that and just laugh at them.
What?
Yeah. The other thing was also kind of along the same lines, people walking dogs in strollers like they're a baby.
That shouldn't be allowed.
No.
That should not be allowed.
But
what if you've got a dog that's, you know, it's got a bad wheel or something, you know?
Maybe I'll give you someone an excuse, but in a baby stroller, I don't know.
Yeah, that's true.
I got one, Matt. I hope I don't catch too much heat, you guys.
No.
So I'm in the grocery store, and I'm walking in the grocery store, and this lady has the mask covering her face. And if you're that scared of whatever's going on, one, you don't need to be outside, and two, you're not better than me. You're breathing the same stuff I'm breathing, and I just wanted to run, go get that mask and just take it off like, this is not helping you. You know, I don't know. Have you seen it?
Yes,
it's like,
of
stay
course.
In the house if you're that
of
paranoid.
Course.
My heart was in the right place, but I'm like, you're not better than me. That mask is not helping whatever you think you're getting away from.
Right.
And that was a grievance
I had. I hear you. If you don't know exactly what Festivus is or means, let's hear Frank Costanza explain it.
I got your message. I haven't celebrated Festivus in years. What is your interest?
What? Just tell me everything, huh?
Many Christmases ago, I went to buy a doll for my son. I reached for the last one they had, but so did another man. As I rained blows upon him, I realized there had to be another way.
What happened to the doll?
It was destroyed. But out of that, a new holiday was born. A Festivus for the rest of us.
Ah,
so good.
That is so funny. As I rained blows down upon him. I have one, and it's related to airports.
Oh.
So you get off your plane, and you got to pick up your suitcase at the baggage carousel.
Which I hate.
Why does everybody stand right next to the carousel? They should stand 3 to 5 feet away from the carousel. When they see their bag come down, then they step up to the carousel and take their suitcase bag off.
Wow.
Otherwise, they're standing right next to it. Their bag's not coming out. Mine is, and I've got to excuse them. I've got to push them to the side to get my bag. Why do they have to stand right next to
that,
the bag,
but you're right
next to the carousel?
As if it's going to expedite the process more faster. It's not like
Here it comes, quick, get it. Here it comes, get it first.
Yeah, it's to get your bag always.
I can't stand that.
Animals.
And then it's like you see your bag come down and you can't even get it because there's a wall, standing room only at the carousel.
And heaven forbid if you hit somebody on accident because they're right in your way when you're trying to pull a big bag.
Exactly. That
especially
will not cause any friction at home. No, that does cause friction. And, yeah. You just flew for 5 or 6 hours.
I just hate that you got to wait, though. Just the whole concept of, haven't I been here enough, long enough? My bag somehow should be ready, so I keep moving. I hate that.
I also would like to see this rule in aviation, and that is no carry-on bags allowed.
What?
You are not allowed to carry a bag on to the plane but for, like, a satchel.
Okay, like, and that's for a purse
correct.
Or
no,
a small satchel.
No roller, no wheel things, nothing like that.
And your reasoning is?
Takes too long to board. Okay. Takes too long to board. Everybody tries to cheat. Everybody tries to game the system. Everybody tries to bring a bag on because you know why? They don't want to have to go to the carousel and push people out of the way.
And they don't want to have to pay either. Some flights you have to pay. You don't get free baggage sometimes.
I don't like it. I do not like the jamming of the bag and making everybody wait. I can't stand that. By the way, Guru, text line.
Oh, yeah, I see.
Saying, hey, Guru, people wear masks because of allergies.
But the people allergies. I see, I read their mind, and they're doing it because they think they're better than everybody else, and they don't want to get sick or breathe in our air. That's how I take it. And it very well may be for that, but I see the look on people. I'm like, come on.
What if they're sick, though, and they're trying not to spread it? Are they being considerate then by doing that? Like, oh, you know what? I have to go out and go to the grocery store, but I don't want to
maybe
get
they can
sick.
Ride on the mask. I'm sick. And then I'd be like, you know what? Hey, thumbs up.
Right,
you know,
right.
Thank you.
All right. If you have a grievance and it's a good one, we'll take it. 888-957-9570. How about this? Parents walking their baby in a stroller while smoking a cigarette.
Yeah, that's kind of bad.
That is.
Man, smoking cigarettes has really become.
Do people still do it?
Of course.
Yeah. People still do.
You go into any alley. Go into any,
well, I know they do the other thing, but the
go
cigarettes.
Go into any. By the way.
Yeah.
You know these contraptions
lettuce.
That people smoke now?
Oh, yeah.
Vapes
oh,
and,
wow, yeah.
I mean, are they, can you tell if they're tobacco
no,
or if they're
you
weed?
You can't, Matt.
It's just, ask you a question.
And it's lax to me. I was in a restaurant here in Hayward, and they had that device, and the people were just passing the device, and I'm looking like, not jealous, I'm looking like, you can't do that. But nobody at the restaurant said a word, and people continued to watch the game, and I'm like, we've come a long way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's
don't smoke become, in the
oh, I miss that. I miss that. Guru, if someone has been out of the country and they have the bird flu,
okay.
The bird, what was that thing called? The avian flu?
Yeah, I think it's around that, something like that. Avian.
No,
those things never
West,
pan
you're
out.
Right.
West Nile,
don't
Zika.
Don't say it's so disappointed, though, right?
Because
I
like
get
Y2K.
Nervous.
I'm
running the house with the kids.
Nothing happens.
Bird flu.
Are you you're a germaphobe?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Is that why you don't shake my hand? You give me the fist bump? The fist bump is, that's,
like
you know.
Howie Mandel.
Well, I always wanted to make pro and I didn't, Matt, obvious. So the fist bump gives me more like, you know, we're on the court and I just, you know.
Here's another grievance. People who don't wait for me or others to get off the elevator before they're trying to get on.
Etiquette.
You can make that case for BART. On the BART train.
No, I don't even want the BART. We could do a whole hour on that. Yeah.
By the way, you know, you're not supposed to eat or drink on BART.
Yeah.
Do people know that?
No, they don't. Or dance.
Dancing's fine. You know what? The other day, I'm on BART, and it wasn't a crowded car. I was coming about 10:30, and this young fella, nice fella, looked like a nice fella. Next thing I know, he pulls out a violin and a little chair, and he's sitting in the handicapped area, or where they put the bikes, I should say.
I got you.
He starts playing the violin on the BART train. But while it's moving, you're going through the tunnel.
Remarkable story.
Yeah, at Fortenbaugh.
But you're not at the symphony. People want to just go home.
What if
it was a little bit, I believe it or not, I was thinking that's not cool. But by the end of it, I was like, I didn't mind that.
So it's kind of like overhead music, but you had a live show there.
Yeah, but he of course wanted some cash. I didn't put any cash in. Yeah, that's nice. Let's go to Chris. Chris is on 101. He wants to air a grievance.
Happy holidays, you guys.
Same to you, man.
Mine's sports related, if you don't mind.
No.
My grievance is with our offensive coordinator, Musgrave. He's killing us. My logic is the same as Guru. I heard him say it plenty of times. With this personnel, we can't give him credit for what he's doing with this personnel. Mm. Now, if it was the Niners and he's got them 7-6 offensively in the league, then we can give him some kudos. But with the disposal of the players he have at the positions, I'm not going to give him no credit. We get in the red zone and we get stuck. This has been going on all year, but the comeback wins has been sweeping it under the rug. What I'm really pissed off is if it comes back to bite us in the butt in the playoffs, and then everybody wanna jump on board, and I keep hearing, oh, he's doing a good job, he's doing a good job. Look at the guys he's working with. My thing is he could do a whole lot better, man. And I'm not buying the pinky problem. I'm not buying that at all.
All right. Hey, Chris, thanks a lot for the call. He's got a big problem with the 11-3 Raiders going to the playoffs for the first time in 15 years. The swine flu, remember?
That's it.
SARS. Wasn't SARS the cat one? The cat issue?
But my whole goal is you're not going to get past that because you got the mask. Hey, look, I got the mask.
By the way, here's more bad news for you. If you've had a lung transplant, apparently a lot of those people must wear a surgical mask, too. Oh. How about this gentleman saying people who show up in the third quarter of a game and then kick the people out of the seats who tried to say. I'll tell you one thing I'm noticing at Warrior games. There are more fans leaving early. A lot of fans leaving start of the fourth quarter when they're up 30.
But are they satisfied, Matt?
Think they were. They're up 30.
But some would say, hey, you know who wants to watch a blowout? Let's go.
A UPS driver would like you to put a light above your address next to on your house so that when they're delivering packages in the dark, they can read the address sign.
Especially this time of year.
Yeah, and here's a gripe from the 415 callers on a show that rip Musgrave on a poor line. So, sorry about that. Let's go to Bob in Danville real quick. Bob, you got a grievance.
Hey, happy holidays, everybody.
Yeah, you too.
Here's the coup de grace. You know, I'm out right now because I'm a man, and it's December 23rd, so I'm just starting the Christmas shopping.
Yeah, you're an early bird.
And there's a jackass that's parked diagonally across two parking spots.
Yes.
So my grievance is, you know, parking training needs to be happening somewhere along the line to wake these people up. So I thought I'd weigh in on that.
Thanks, Bob.
And as far as our Raiders are concerned, man, it's night and day between now. And, you know, I grew up in the 70s when Stabler was a quarterback, and those days were wonderful, and we're returning to glory. And that's all I have to say.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Let me tell you, if you come across a car that's taken up more than one spot, I think you're allowed to key those cars, aren't you?
Oh, Matt, look at you now.
Wow.
All right,
when we come back,
we'll talk some Golden State Warriors quietly. How about this? Quietly. 26-4. You're listening to Matt Steinmetz and Daryl the Guru Johnson filling in for Joe Lowendibs on 95.7 The Game.
Hold on to your pants because this thing is going to move and it's going to move quick.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.